Dog Sports has lots of options to keep your dog's four paws busy. Let's dive deeper in Four Paws Sports. Now, here are your hosts, Jeff Nieder and Mary Drexler.
Hey, we're back again, and this time we didn't wait a month, 2 months, 3 months, maybe almost a year before we decided to start another episode here. So welcome back to the next episode of Four Paws Sports. And as always, my partner in crime, but not really bad crime, Mary.
Hi, everybody. Not committing a crime, but still here.
Still here. No felonies, no misdemeanors, nothing like that. Not yet. There's still time.
Right. But still don't follow us for commits on or tips on how to commit a crime, because you'll be really disappointed. But if you want to talk about dogs, we are your place to be.
That's what we're here for. Yes. Okay. All I don't want to say all knowledgeable, because that would just be a flat out lie. I don't know everything.
No, same. I mean, Hex does, and she's pretty close, but you know. He hasn't figured out how to use the phone yet, so I guess I have to be the
Thank God she doesn't work the phone yet. I'd be worried for your sake with who she's calling.
She'd order a lot of food. Let's be honest. Like, Grubhub, that would be her thing. DoorDash. She'd be like,
Fat and happy Samoyed. Well, maybe that's why Nitro just kind of just gives me dirty side eye looks, because maybe he knows everything. And he just looks at me going, dude, you're stupid.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Hex 100% gives me that look sometimes. She's like, you know, I love you, but you're kind of dumb. Like,
right. Do you think you I put up with you because you feed me?
Right. I love you and you feed me, but honestly, I could do better. Like,
Oh, poor Hex. We love our one-eyed Samoyed.
She's the best.
She is.
Thankfully, she loves me in spite of my many flaws. She knows that I love her, and I'm grateful that she doesn't point out that I am easily the more flawed half of our partnership. So, you know.
Yeah, I resemble that.
Yeah. So, yeah, she doesn't hold it against me, so that's good. Otherwise, she would have found a new home a long time ago.
Yeah. Oh man! All right. Well, you've moved across the country. I am still planted here. So, home versus away. We talked about this kind of in just very briefly outside of the podcast here, and I think you've noticed as well as I've noticed that there is a significant difference in performance and your mentality when, any sport really, home game versus away game. You know, where home. Home, you're on familiar turf. You know everything. You know the ins, you know the outs, you know the exits, the entrances, you know where all the equipment is. You know who's going to be there. But when you hit that away game, such as yourself, where you have ventured across the country to a whole new land of dog sports, you don't really know anybody. You don't know where anything is. And It's kind of frightening, kind of scary, and really keeps you on your toes here. I mean, tell me about your experiences lately with your newfound experiences showing across the country.
Right. Well, and you know, like the thing I will say, like a lot of the issues come, they're more mine than my dogs. I mean, one thing that I'm fortunate with, I mean, dogs are situational, but my dogs, even before I moved, we would train a lot of random places. I'd be like, oh, here's a park, let's train, or here's somebody's driveway or whatever. You know, my dogs, I don't think, my current ones anyway, have learned to generalize pretty well for the most part. But there are definitely, you know, switching your home turf, like, so when I was in Iowa, most of my agility trials, for example, were at the Quad City Dog Center because they have trials there once, sometimes twice a month. So it's like, okay, I can sleep in my own bed every night. I know exactly this is a place I can go train. You know, and it just, I think as a handler, it makes it easier to come in and you put all your focus on your job as a handler, right? Because you're not worried about, well, where am I going to crate and where am I going to, you know, what time do I need to get here and how is this going to run and what else do I, you know, the little things, the nuances you need. Like, whereas coming out to Utah, so one thing, you know, you should read your premium list. I am raising my hand right now as a person who often does not read my premium list thoroughly.
Not gonna raise my hand too high here, but yeah, guilty. Yeah,
guilty. So, and I'll be honest with you, like, back home, the trials that I go to every year all the time, I don't read the premium list other than who's judging and where do I send my entries to, you know? That's what I read. Yep. Well, okay, so out west in general, it's a whole different ballgame. So, like, a lot of the trials out here, they're either outside on grass. Like, actually, thank God I didn't enter agility, but the first weekend I trialed out here, I did obedience and rally, and or no, I didn't do rally. I coached some rally, and I did confirmation. And it was at this place I'd been before. I'd run agility there before, but they also had an agility trial going. Well, confirmation was inside in the big indoor arena. Obedience and rally was outside in a covered horse arena. And agility was out in the grass. This is the first weekend in May, where it's usually pretty nice in Utah. It snowed on Sunday. Snowed. They had to cancel. Finally, they finally had to give up and cancel the rest of the runs because it was just straight up not safe to run a dog. So, you know, that's one aspect is you go somewhere new, you got to get used to new footings. I am unusual in obedience trainers back when I was in the Midwest, and that I did train in a barn fairly frequently because I used to work in a barn. I used to run a barn. Well, what I'm learning out here is there's a whole lot of obedience trials in horse arenas on dirt, and which would make a lot of the Midwestern dogs, like, because most of our trial environments in the Midwest are inside on mats. And so just learning that new, like, I don't have even something like my dogs aren't particularly distracted by the smell, but just learning how to find my lines when I'm healing and figuring helping my dogs figure out their go outs and stuff on when there's no mats to help guide out. Just things like, okay, so I'm sure that the Quad City Dog Center, we are not the only place, because I know I've been other places where, you know, you have places where there's agility trials on the regular and everybody kind of gets, you know, you get the same people go pretty much. Right. And so what do? You get, everybody's got their spot. And so, you know, you go and you create, and it's like, everybody's got their places they always create. And then if somebody new comes in and like, they don't know where to go because you don't want to be in somebody's spot, but everybody's got their spot and they're like secretly a little clicky, a little mad if you accidentally are too close to them, because that's, you know, where Joe Smith usually is, and now you're in Joe Smith's spot, even though Joe Smith isn't there yet, you know. So there's that kind of thing, like kind of finding your niche there. And just like the things you need to go to a trial. I mean, so in the Midwest, I need a mat to put down under my crates, and clean mats to protect, because several of the places that I trial, they don't want just crates on the mats in the building. They want something underneath. I don't need to worry about shade. I don't need to worry about, I mean, I need to bring water, but I don't need to bring excessive amounts of water. Fans may or may not be needed depending on the thing. Well, out west, what I'm finding is, okay, you need to have a pop-up because a lot of your crating and grooming and whatever is going to be outside. So you need a pop-up and you need shades. You've got to have fans and plenty of batteries. You've got to have that. You have to have, you know, more of that kind of setup, more what I would call what was a more traditional original agility setup. You know, and so just the comfort of, I am a little notorious for getting to a trial maybe 15-ish minutes before it starts. So coming into a new venue in new places where I don't know what building to go to, and I don't know where the rings are, and I don't know where I can potty my dogs, and I don't know any of that stuff, I've actually had to not come skating in at the last minute. you know, so just stuff like that, like learning the stuff you need to successfully trial in a new place, learning, you know, the new areas. I also, speaking of not reading the premium list, did go to the wrong spot for the first agility trial that I was entered in out here. Because it had been in a different place the year before than it was this year. And so that would be your first thing. If you're at a place that's new to you or new-ish to you or whatever, you should, and even if not, you should make sure that it's at the same place it's always been before you just go. But yeah, that's kind of like the main things, is like the whole different aspect of what does crating look like? What is inside the ring is basically the same, right? Like you're gonna go and you're gonna walk your course and you run your dog, or you're gonna, you know, go in and do your obedience run, whatever. But like that other stuff, you know, that, and it can throw you off. I think it can throw the people off. And if it throws people off, then it can throw your dog off. So you have to be kind of prepared, I guess, or try to be prepared.
Technical issues. And I apologize in advance because this is going to sound all broken up, but yeah. So anyway, so Mary's all talking about her, her adventures out in the Utah area. And here I'm trying to comment and nothing's coming through, at least on her side. I don't know. We'll have to see what the recording sounds like after this. But right. I apologize for the incoherent podcast we're doing tonight. So back to the topic of hand, home versus away. So I've obviously had my share of home and away. So lately, and what really spurred this was two things here. One, at tryouts at Perina Farms, which is my home turf, home territory at least, and I noticed I had just a different attitude, and it was weird because I was overly comfortable. I wasn't cocky. It wasn't anything really like just going, I'm gonna go blow this out of the water. I was just comfortable. And for me, when we're comfortable, that's when things don't go the way they should. Now, I'm not going to say we didn't have a good tryout. We had a decent tryout. We still hung up in the definitely, I think it was in the top 35% of the entries for the large dog, which for me, I'm very happy with that. Of course, we all will love to be on the team and heading over to Europe this year to compete and represent the U.S., but not in the cards for us. But, you know, of all the four rounds, we only had one actual E, and the other three were scores, but not E's. And I thought we were going to walk out with a clean run on the last round. And we were so close to the very last, second to last jump, and just happened to get in each other's way, and Kyber dropped that bar. So I take the credit for that one. Mm-hmm. However, after going to North Carolina this past weekend to go run UKI's classic out there at the Rising Star Canine Ranch, which I recommend anybody who does love doing agility. Obviously, you're listening to the podcast, so you do dog sports. Take a trip out to North Carolina, or if you're in North Carolina, you haven't been yet, you don't know what you're missing because that facility is just phenomenal. Just remember that you may have to crate out your car because there's not always the most crating space there, but hopefully that'll get rectified in the near future. But yeah, otherwise, love the facility out there. But the big thing for me is that was a big away game for us. The big thing about that for me is that I was away from home. I was in a brand new facility. Never been there before. Didn't know really what to expect. Thank God Google Maps worked out in the middle of nowhere in North Carolina, because I would have never found this place. But it kept me on my toes because I didn't know where I was. I didn't know who was going to be out there. And the people that I did know versus who I didn't know, I would say it was a 10%. I knew the people out there. The other 90%, I didn't know who these people were. So it kept me on my toes. And I think for me, that keeps me out of my comfort zone. And we had one of the best weekends we've had in agility in a long time, where Kyber took third in the pentathlon. So we ended up getting to be on the podium on Sunday, not once, but twice, because in Master Series, he ended up taking second overall. And he also medaled in one speed stakes round, and he also medaled in an individual Master Series round. Second place and third place there. So super happy with him there. So we had a really good weekend, but I attribute a lot of that to just being out of my comfort zone. And at that point I had to focus and mm-hmm. spend my time working on myself with Kyber and making sure that I was ready to go. For whatever reason, for me, being out of my comfort zone really makes me hone in on my focus and really be, thoughtful. I'm not careless. I'm not reckless like I am when I'm super comfortable, because all of a sudden mm-hmm. when you're super comfortable, it's like, okay, nothing can go wrong here. This is just easy going here. There's nothing really on the line because I got to go home every night after tryouts. It's not like I would just go back to the Airbnb or the hotel like when I was in North Carolina. So to me, it's like, okay, we're here. We're here for a purpose, versus where if I'm at home, I'm going, it's just another day. You know, I can go home and because when I'm at the trial, like for tryouts, I'm like going, okay, I'm at home. I have a bunch of errands that I can do. I have a bunch of chores and things around the house that just need to get done. And I'm like, okay, that doesn't help. That doesn't help you. And go, God, I could be elsewhere getting things, being productive at home. So hopefully I'll be able to trial a little bit more out of town, even though that's a little more costly. But I've got UKI coming up in about 3 weeks that I'll be traveling out of town for. Then I've got a handful of AKC trials that will be at home. So hopefully for me, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens when it comes to the AKC at home and go from there. But that's my thoughts on the whole home versus away part.
Well, and I think that's a really good point. Like, and I think it depends a lot on the person. Like for you and I, who've been competing a long time, and I think we're both people that have a pretty good perspective. Like we want to do well, but also, you know, if things go wrong, it doesn't like ruin our lives, right? Like,
right.
I think being in an unfamiliar situation can help us a little bit because it does. It wakes us up a little bit and gives us a little more edge. I think it can go the other way for people. And if you're a person that's like that, where you go to a new place and you're like, oh my gosh, this isn't the routine I'm used to. And this isn't the place I'm used to. And this isn't, you know, where I have to wear different shoes because it's a different surface and, you know, or whatever, you know, I think there's certainly people that do that. And I think, you know, again, like doing some things like allowing yourself some extra time or, you know, just taking a minute to just familiarize yourself or just kind of taking a minute to mentally remind yourself that, hey, you know, I can do this. Like I've gone to class and I've been successful. I've gone to this place that I show a lot and been successful. I've gone other places maybe, or maybe I haven't gone other places and shown, but now here I am in a new place, but I know I have these skills. I know I can do this. And, you know, it's okay. If you're a person who struggles a little bit with the away game, you can work on that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Because unfortunately, not everything's going to be at home. Not all the nationals, not tryouts, or even regional events. They're not going to be home. They're 90% of the time, you're going to have to leave and you're going to have to figure out how to address that. And I think for me, it's just like, well, one night severely underpacked for North Carolina. I wasn't expecting to have the crate out of my car that this past weekend. So definitely a little learning experience on my part there. But I think if you're going to plan to travel for out-of-town events, you need to, and especially for big events, I think you need to do smaller events first to get your feet wet and understand, you know, what's it going to feel like when we're out there when there's no pressure. Because if you go to a big event out-of-town, you've got two things working against you. One, you've got the pressure of the big event because, one, there's a lot of things that are going to ride on these events. Like for this last one, you know, pentathlon, if we had won Speed Stakes, that would have given us a bye straight to the finals. And, you know, that's the one that's like coveted for UKI just because it's easier to skip to the finals on the first night that you get there. So yeah, everybody wants to go for that. But so you've got that pressure of trying to win that specific event. And then you got the pressure of, well, we're going to be in a brand new facility. I don't know the place. It's a big risk when you're going out there because you truly don't know the surface. And because it's your dog, nobody can really tell you, oh, your dog's going to be fine on that one. So you have to be prepared to accept the consequences of, okay, maybe this was not the best option. Maybe I need to go elsewhere instead of coming to this facility because maybe this facility's flooring is not the best for my dog. It is a risk. I mean, you are gambling every time you go out of town to a brand new place because it could blow up in your face. Right.
Well, and some things you can do too. Like, let's say you're getting ready to go to your first out of town event, whether it's a big event or whether it's just, you know, gee, I've always trialed. Like, let's say you've always trialed in a place, in the place that you train, in the place that's local to you, and now you're going to go even to another state. Well, you know, maybe before you do that, maybe rent some time in a different facility to practice in some different facilities, get you and your dog used to different surfaces and different distractions and different equipment and different. And that goes true, whether it's obedience or agility or whatever. So you start to develop that confidence of, okay, yeah, we can do this somewhere else. So it's because your dog and give you and your dog some grace. Like it's okay if you both come out a little bit wide-eyed at first, if it's okay, if you both like a little bit, you know, like, oh man, this is different. And, you know, if you can get the opportunity to practice, even if it's not the place you're going to trial, if it's just some new places, then you start to learn you know, maybe gives you some homework ahead of time to help you get a little more prepared, but it helps you and your dog to understand that you can do this stuff in different spots. And then that's going to help you be more confident when you go to that new place and new, you know, a new situation, you take your show on the road. And it also can help you figure out, like, what do I really need when I travel? You know, what do I really need? Because as Jeff found out, right, like, okay, I need to pack lighter because I'm traveling a long distance. I don't have a lot of room. But maybe, okay, next time I need to make sure I pack a sunshade for the car, like a big sunshade, because I'm going to be crating out of my car. You know, like that kind of stuff.
Right.
Doing some small
and I will say
will help.
Well, absolutely. Well, so the one thing I'll say about the sunshade is that when I thought I was going to need it, I thought, oh, I'll go to a tractor store or a farm store. They'll have that. Oh, my God. I search everywhere in North Carolina within a 20-square-mile radius. Nobody has it. But you know who's got it? Amazon. And had I really thought about it, I could have just primed it right to the facility behind there. Yeah. But didn't think about that. So next time, remember, Amazon Prime ships anywhere, because I did that while I was judging when my laptop didn't have its power cable because I left it at home. I shipped it right to where I was staying, and I'm like going, hey, yay, Prime. Hey. So, yeah, yes, Prime goes anywhere, because I did see a Prime truck show up one day. So I'm like, oh, crap. I didn't think they'd actually deliver to this facility, but hey, I learned, that's for sure.
Live and learn, yeah. But it is. I mean, it just kind of helps you. So, like, if you're getting ready for that stuff, you know, go ahead and practice going somewhere else and what stuff do I need and what whatever, because it'll help you be more prepared, and then not just physically prepared, but, like, mentally, emotionally prepared.
Right. You know,
because it is a different game. Yeah, and, you know, you got to gain that experience to be good at it. You know, just like anything, it takes practice.
It does. It does. Especially, like, you know, this year, we're going to go down to Florida for the U.S. Open, and this will be the third time going. And I will say, I'm very comfortable going down there now. I know the facility layout. I know what to expect. I know the schedule. I understand how it works. And that first year, I was just wide-eyed, and it was very, very daunting and very, it was interesting to go down there and actually have to try to figure things out there. So no matter how much pressure and preparation that you do put yourself through, it still is only going to do so much before you get to the big event. And you have to be, the biggest thing, you got to be flexible. You got to be able to go roll with the punches there. And that's the biggest thing I can say. And, you know, if you're going to go out of town, the one thing I will say that will ease your mind is look at places to eat around there. Find something that's comfortable for you. Even if it's just a normal restaurant, you will feel better. I've always found that there's comfort in knowing where you're going to eat at and what's around there. So it is definitely, that's my kind of go-to for when I'm traveling. It's like, what's there to eat?
Right. Yeah. Well, and I'm like my dog. Like, if you give me good food wherever I am, I'm pretty happy. So, you know, I'm with you there. And it can be really a fun opportunity. Like, you can take it, like, you know, I was having this conversation actually earlier today about how, you know, I go all over the place for national specialties and never see a darn thing in the towns that I'm in because I'm so busy with the national specialty. But what I do get to experience, and it's mostly a good thing, except for 2 years ago in California with my food poisoning, but mostly, you know, you get to experience some cool local food, right? So yeah, if you're getting ready to travel, like, plan for the stuff for your dog, plan ready, but also, yeah, like, let's look ahead and, oh, what are some cool local restaurants? What are some cool, or if you're like, no, that's too much new for me. Okay. What restaurant do I love that's a chain that can be here so I can make sure I can get that too? Like, it's okay if you don't want to dive off the deep end like that right off the bat when you start traveling, but you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's like for me when I judge. It's like I'm constantly going to new places or even old places, but old places aren't, when I say old, you know, it may be a year before I come back to that place. So I'm always looking around. It's like, okay, what's there to eat? What's there around there to do? Because I'm going to have stuff to do at night, which usually means I'm just going to crash in a hotel any which way. But the food is always a thing for me to just find out. So yeah, comfort food is always comfort. It's a good thing to have. Speaking about equipment in different places, I cannot stress enough, you've got to go to different places, different facilities, and try different equipment, because funny enough, dogs, well, I mean, we all know this, dogs are sound sensitive. Mm-hmm. They're sound and they're pressure sensitive. And the big thing I've found is that the clip and go dog walks that are the hollow out. Aluminum dog walks are super light. I love them to death. They're easy to move inside of a facility. And the one thing that I've told people who say, oh, I'm going to go to such and such facility. And I go, okay, well, I've judged there. Have you ever been on this type of dog walk? And they're like, well, no. I'm like going, okay, well, if you can get there early, like maybe a day early, and maybe rent the ring or take a lesson while you're out there just to get your dog on the equipment, I highly recommend it, because I have had people goes, oh, I have never been on a clip and go dog walk. I've never been on a clip and go teeter. The A-frame's pretty much the same. That doesn't really change much. But that sound is hollow, and it changes. And I've seen dogs freak out about it, because all of a sudden they're going, oh, they're not hearing this solid sound.
Yep.
They're hearing this hollowed out sound that's really just very weird. And then I will say also, the biggest thing about some of the newer equipment, like from Gallican over in Europe, when they bring their soft line A-frame, or even their dog walk too, on top of that, the sound is gone. There is literally no sound when they're coming down that A-frame or the dog walk, because there is all that rubber is soft. And it's just like, dogs are like, they're expecting sound feedback. Yep. And when they don't have it, dogs are like, what the hell is this? Mm-hmm. What happened to the sound? And I mean, it takes dogs a couple of days, maybe a day. Some dogs take a little bit longer, but it was very interesting to me. The first time I ever judged on one of those types of contacts, I was like going, wow, I didn't think sound was going to be such a big key factor in this whole thing. And surprisingly it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The dogs notice that stuff, and you know, they just, like you say, and dogs are situational, but they generalize more than more different stuff you say. So even if you can't, like, if you're like, oh my gosh, I entered a trial in 2 months in this different place and they have a different dog walk, and oh my gosh, I don't know if I can get on that specific dog walk. Well, that's okay. Can you go to like 2 or 3 other places that have different dog walks? Even if they're not the same as the place you're going, it's still different dog walks. So now if my dog has seen like 4 or 5 different dog walks, as opposed to just 1 or 2, the chances they're going to go to that new place and be like, oh yeah, this is just a dog walk, are much higher than if, you know, they just have a really limited experience. And so, don't panic if you can't get on that specific piece of equipment, but also try to get on as many different ones, as safe ones, as you can. Like, don't go to the one that somebody made at the local dog park that looks like it's about to fall apart. Like, that's not worth it, but you know, safe.
If it's rotting, don't touch it.
Right. Or the wrong size, or, you know, any of that stuff. Like, don't risk life and limb for the sake of dog walk practice. But, you know.
Right. Yeah. No, it's amazing just the changes in equipment just makes everything go away. Oh, speaking of equipment, let's see. What's the countdown here? It is June 28th. And although it's not going to be June 28th when this gets posted, but we are on a 1, 2, 3 days, and table is gone in the master's level class for AKC. Thank you very much, AKC, for doing that. Even though it has taken me several trials so far to the future for designing that, I actually take the A-frame or take the table out of the master's class, and then now that I've taken the table out of that, now I have to remember to put it back in then for open and novice. I can't tell you how many times I've gone, crap, I forgot the table this time.
Yeah, although I'm really hoping that this will be the beginning of the end for the table overall. Like,
yes.
You know.
Yeah.
But this is a great
start. And then we can start working on maybe making 12 pulls in novice, because that would be much nicer.
Yeah, you might get a little bit of pushback from that. Not for me. My dogs know how to do 12 pulls before they do novice, but I imagine there will be some people that will be like, what?
I mean, I can always hope that we can get that there, but you know, I'll take the small victories of just going with the table being gone completely one of these days. I hope so. That would just be great.
Yeah, I would not. I mean, if I get older and wheezier and need my dog to stop and wait somewhere, I'll train more solid stop contacts than I have now and just breathe then, you know. So in the meantime, as someone who frequently is working the trial, I'm going to be really happy if I don't have to fart around with changing legs and bases and all that crap. Like, yeah, buy table. Yes. Don't let the door hit you in the butt on the way.
Yes.
As far as I'm concerned, like, I mean, it's especially like the way I'm really, I mean, one of the reasons I would really like to see it come out of novice and open too is especially when you have like novice and open at the end of the day and nobody's around and now you have to change the dumb table and you know, you always have what, like a few dogs at each height and then you have to change the table right. all the time. And it's just,
Four times guaranteed for open and four times guaranteed for novice.
Yep.
Every time.
And you'll have like one dog in each height. Like you'll make sure you have at least one dog in every different table height so that you make sure that you have to change it to go through all the heights. Always. So, but yes, this is a huge step in the right direction. Yeah. And I'm hoping that my hope is that once they see, oh, okay, this is kind of nice, that it will then go the way of the dodo completely. That would be good.
Yes, hopefully. Circling back to the whole away game thing, the other big thing that I think would be very beneficial to a lot of people is depending on who you're training with. You know, do you have that relationship with your trainer? Because I've built the relationship with my trainer, and she is phenomenal for me. Because when I was in North Carolina, we were discussing courses back and forth. I was texting her and we had a couple of discussions on certain points of the course, at least by the map, because it's not always by the map, but we had some discussions about it. And she always kind of just gives me some just brief glimpses of, remember what I told you about this, you know, keep your eyes on such and such, make sure you're watching your dog, watching where you want them to go. And those things right there, that made the world of difference there. Not that I was nervous or anything, but it just kind of takes you back going, okay, this is still practice. It's still training here. And those things are there it made a world of difference there. So that kind of relationship is 1000% invaluable. You cannot put a price tag on that kind of relationship with your trainer there. And it actually kind of goes back to a post, that I saw floating around Facebook about how trainers get burned out because they're training friends, and friends will absolutely drain you of advice to take because they'll just keep taking and taking and taking, and all of a sudden you just don't want to do it anymore. And you know, I've kind of felt that way a little bit when I was doing a brief glimpse of dog training for agility back home. And a lot of people just want to ask questions. And, you know, after a while, it's just like, okay, this is draining. And so I try to not do that with my trainer because I just appreciate everything she's done for me. But, you know, we have those discussions outside of our private lessons where, you know, we're not just talking agility. We're discussing other things too. So we have a good, I think, good stay relationship. But if you can get that kind of relationship with your trainer, that's just invaluable, especially when you're on an away game, because I guarantee you trainers want to see you succeed. And if you will just ask them a question while you're away, just go, hey, what do you think about this? You know, where do you think I should turn? Which way is going to be faster for my dog? That they're going to always want to help you, because that's in the nature of a trainer, is that they always want to help their students. They want to make you look good out there, because, you know, by that way, you make them look good too at the same time. So, but at the same time, don't abuse it, which I try very hard not to, but it does take a lot to go, okay, I don't need to talk to them every single day, but you know, when you're there or when you need them, they are always going to be there for you.
Right. Well, and the other thing to keep in mind is that you can, even if you can't get a hold of your trainer, like maybe they're busy or out of town or whatever, you're out of town, obviously, so they can't get a hold of you, you know, you can't reach them. You can still take that advice to a point and be like, all right, I'm in a new place and I'm nervous, but let's look at this course. Let's look at these skills. What's the stuff that I practice? How do I apply it here? And use that to give yourself some focus when you're kind of trying to mentally freak out just a little bit. Like, you know, that can help you.
Right. Right.
Like, you know, I mean, I haven't run in agility. I don't run big events like Jeff does and I don't, whatever, but my one big event was going to the finals at Invitational. And, you know, I was nervous and stuff like that, but I'm just like, okay, right. I'm out here. I'm just going to focus on, this is my job. This is my path. This is what I got to do. And that's what I put my focus on. Not, oh my gosh, I'm in finals, or oh my gosh, this is a big deal or whatever. It was just like, nope, this is my job. And, you know, that can really help you a lot on your away game. Be like, okay, these are the skills I know. I'm going to put them into play. I'm going to focus on where I need to be and when I need to be there. And then that gives you the ability to kind of tune out some of that other stuff that makes you notice that it's more of an away game, you know, and helps you be there for your dog when you need to be, you know?
Well, especially when it's finals, because, you know, everybody's watching, you've got everybody cheering for you. You got people who are yelling, go Mary, go Jeff, or, you know, go Kyber, or go Hex, you know, any one of those things here, because honestly, when I'm making some blind crosses that, because I do have long legs and I can run, and fortunately it's a detriment to me because I get places that I don't think I can. And then occasionally I still hear people when they get excited for me because I got places that maybe other people necessarily can't. It is very hard to tune that out every now and then. Yeah. But you have to learn to not let it impact you, because and all of a sudden that brief moment that gets you out of your zone. And it can go south very quickly just because you're like, oh, crap, somebody's got excited for me. I'm excited. I'm in finals. And, oh, crap, I just blew that because I didn't stay focused.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And you just – but and that happens. But, again, that's part of, you know, again, getting in the habit. Like, don't go away one time and be like, oh, my God, I didn't do as well as I hoped. I'm never going away again. Like, take those lessons and learn from them and – you know, it's like anything. It takes practice. Like, one of the reasons Jeff and I can go other places and be on our A game, mostly, is we've done it a lot, you know? I mean...
Right. It, repetition.
Exactly. And so you start to just like the novelty of traveling and going to a new place, it becomes less novel. Even if you're still like, okay, this specific place is a little bit uncomfortable, because I'm not used to it. Well, but I am used to traveling with my dog, and I am used to, you know, getting, figuring out my, whatever my living situation is going to be, whether it's camping or Airbnb, hotel or whatever. I am used to walking my course and doing all that stuff. Like, you start to focus in on that familiar. And so then there's fewer and fewer things that are actually new about your away game. And then that helps a lot, because then, like say, it's just only a couple of factors that you're dealing with that are going to maybe mess with your focus, which is probably part of why, like for Jeff going up to Chicago. Okay. That helped you dial in, because it's like, okay, it puts you a little more on your toes, but everything else about it, the traveling and all that stuff, well, you've done that before, you know, you can do that. So that's not a worry, you know? And so like, if you're like, oh my gosh, I just hate going out of town. It just makes me so nervous. Blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, maybe try it a little more. Or, I mean, but the other thing is, no one's holding the gun to your head, making you do out of town trials either. Like, if you're happy with your home game and you really don't want to get better at the away game, well, you don't have to. Like, that's the beauty of it, is you can do it as much as you want to, you know?
Exactly. And honestly, I'm finding that I do like the away games because for me, it's a new place. It's as long as I kind of know where I'm going, I like the idea of, hey, it's a brand new facility, a brand new state. I've never traveled to it. To me, it's an adventure. At the end of the day, dog sports are adventures, especially if you make it a trip out of it, especially with the dogs. It's like, all right, we're going new places. We get new memories. This is an adventure. Let's make it an adventure. Cause let's say, for instance, like, you know, last year I went to the US Open again down in Florida. The year before I had even gone still, it was just straight down there and straight back. There was no extra. Well, actually it wasn't straight back up because I had to go to Virginia. So I drove up the coast. So that was my adventure for that one. But going down there last year, we went to one of the many, many dog friendly beaches that are nearby, and I had lots of fun drone footage there. I got lots of good pictures of the dogs. I got to commemorate Nitro's last big event he was ever going to go to, which we talked about, and how I just had a lot of emotions going on that week. But it was a fun adventure. And honestly, if you have the time to build a vacation into it, make it a trip. You know, if you're going somewhere big, you know, if you're going somewhere like 3-4 hours away, not that really big a deal. This is somewhere fun. But if you're talking 12, 13, 14 hours away, build some extra time in there. Make it fun. Don't drag yourself. Don't drag yourself to the facility. It's just because, oh, it's an away game. No, make it fun for yourself.
Right. But, of course, you say that, and then I'm going to go to the National and never see anything other than the inside of my specialty. I mean, I always have good intentions, and I did last year in Virginia Beach. as I was driving out of Virginia Beach, I pulled over and got out of the car and looked at the beach. Like I touched the sand. But I did touch stop sand. And visit friends go, on the way down. So I did at least do a little excursion and see some of dog friends, of course, that had become like family. And so I did get to go see the Macaulays, which was awesome. But yeah, Jeff is right. Like, you shouldn't do it like me. You should try to do something fun and actually see the places that you go. So.
Absolutely. Well, I think I'm all tapped out. I don't think I got anything else I can add to the home away game tonight.
I don't know. My dogs are starving to death. I know that. So they would like to be not wasting away in their home. So, you know, they're all looking at me like, hey.
It is 8 o'clock for you.
It is 8 o'clock for me. And, you know, they're like, I don't, well, either home or away. My dogs are like, dude, it's dinner time. You know?
Oh, well, I guess we'll leave it at that tonight. And until next time, we will talk to you later. Have a great time training out there.
Night, everybody.